something they haven't been able to do, and that's come up with a cohesive, intelligent energy policy for our country. It seems so crazy that it hasn't happened yet. I mean, we've had the Arab oil embargo. We've had just ridiculous surges in prices, all market driven, all because America just refuses to do the right thing, and we're being led around by giant corporations, including our neighbors right down the road, ExxonMobil, protecting their international business to the expense of having a domestic oil program. Now, you know that I've been trying to get that done, and part of the American energy need scenario is nuclear energy. Joining us is Dina Volovar. She's the assistant project manager, Bechtel Power. See, I ran across the Bechtel Corporation at the nuclear repository at Yucca Mountain in Nevada, because I was watching all of this quote-unquote journalism going on about what was going on, where we were going to deposit our nuclear fuel rods that were depleted. And everybody was reporting bravely on it about what was going on up there at Yucca Mountain and how it was the most dangerous place on Earth. Meanwhile, they're encasing these fuel rods in concrete and leaving them in a parking lot somewhere in Pennsylvania, which I always thought was really funny. So I decided to do something that nobody else had done in Nevada. I actually went there and saw it for myself. Mm-hmm. And Bechtel was very kind, and they took us through the entire place. And I'm sitting there going, okay, so what you're basically telling me is that these people who think that keeping nuclear waste, it's not really waste, it's nuclear fuel. It's spent fuel. They said keeping them in a concrete cask somewhere in some parking lot outside of some nuclear power plant is safer than burying it in this mountain. I mean, they went through the entire structure of the mountain. They went through all of that. And we start this interview with that because unless there is a place for us to keep those fuel rods before we get our crap together enough to actually start reprocessing them, building new nuclear power plants is going to be kind of stopped. And this political game that we keep playing is something that I certainly hope that you guys at the Nuclear Energy Institute are going to be able to get past. And I will help you every step of the way, because there has been one nuclear power plant problem that led to any kind of public interaction, and that was at Three Mile Island. What was that? How many years ago? 77, 79?
Yeah, about that time frame.
Anyway, so, yeah, and so we keep looking at all of this, you know, and we still don't have enough nuclear power plants in America. Meantime, Japan going full force, France going full force, Germany going full force, Russia, they are reprocessing all their fuel rods, and so on and so forth. The only thing that stopped America was a little movie called The China Syndrome, which turned out to be completely false.
Mm-hmm.
So I've spoken too much. You break the rules of interviews. Tell us what Clean Energy America is all about, and tell us what you guys are up to.
Yeah, the Clean Energy America program is actually a group of engineers and scientists who have really gotten together and given their free time to going out and opening up a dialogue with the public about the benefits of nuclear power. And that would be that it's a clean and reliable and extremely cost-effective way to generate large amounts of electricity and meet our power needs.
Now, when you start talking about this, you start talking about the differences between different kinds of nuclear reactors. I mean, you know, the safety record for nuclear reactors in America as in whole, as a general statement, is unbelievably good.
Fantastic.
I mean, more people have died of radiation in coal mining than they have having anything to do with nuclear power whatsoever, including the Navy's nuclear power program, which is a program that's based on highly enriched fuel rods as opposed to commercial fuel rods, which are less highly enriched. I mean, these military reactors are very serious pieces of gear running very highly enriched fuel, and civilian ones like Comanche Peak, for example, much less, much safer, just from the standpoint of the fuel they use.
Mm-hmm.
So what has been the failure? What's been the disconnect of being able to get this message out to America and be able to actually circumvent these environmentalists, environmental defectives? But, you know, how do you do it?
I think what we need to do is do some more of what we're doing right now, which is just to really get out and promote nuclear power. We've been kind of the country mouse a little bit and haven't been out there actually banging the drums and making people understand how safe nuclear power is. For one, we have 25 years of a tremendous safety record, and then also how green it is. I mean, there's no greenhouse gas emissions coming off of any of these nuclear power plants. So if you're talking green energy and you want to meet the needs of the power needs in the United States, which are expected to increase by 25% by 2030, you need to start looking at nuclear. And actually, a lot of the environmentalists have come around. Founder of Greenpeace now supports nuclear power, and James Lovelock, who is the grandfather, if you will, of global warming, says that nuclear power is something that we really need to be looking at as a world to meeting our needs while saving the environment.
And by the way, if you think the green part of nuclear power is like the eerie light coming off of green power, actually, it's iridescent blue. And I thought maybe you'd like to know that, just so you know. It's not green at all. Never mind. Can you stick around for a couple of minutes?
Certainly.
Okay, if you've got a question for the lovely Dina Volovar, who is an assistant at Bechtel Corporation.
No one from Bechtel is
listening. Nobody. Oh, come on. Tell him to grow. By the way, she received a Bachelor of Science in Nuclear Engineering from the University of Maryland. You're a terrapin.
I am a terrapin, yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
Hear
okay.
that turtle.
Yeah, there you go. Hear the turtle. 10 years in the nuclear industry. She's got answers for your questions. And don't worry if you don't want to take part in this conversation because I can ask a bunch more questions, and we'll do all of that next year. Listening to The Wells Report, this is Talk Radio 570 KLIF.
I'm Val Dior in the KLIF newsroom. A local judge charged with DWI, and the government says Gulf War syndrome is legit. Details on those stories and more coming to you shortly. But first, for McCann Forest, it's 570 KLIF Skyview Traffic with Bill Jackson.
There's finally some relief on that Dallas North Tollway southbound problem. Southbound at Lover's Lane, a wreck was cleared out of the way, but that left traffic backed up to Royal Lane. Obviously, was adding to the delays on the northbound side with onlookers, so that is recovering as well. I-30 eastbound traffic is slow yet from the downtown Mixmaster over to I-45. Cleanup of a vehicle fire there was finally cleared away from that right shoulder. On I-30 eastbound at Chaha Road, a stalled vehicle blocks one lane.
She's a nuclear engineerette, and she has spent 10 years in the nuclear industry. She's working with Clean Energy America, where national speakers going around the country, and they are here in North Texas right now talking with where are the people, where are your cohorts talking right this very moment?
We were at Texas Christian University earlier, and yes. They are at UT Arlington right now. Actually, okay. They should be finishing up.
All right, cool
Texas
deal.
A&M tomorrow.
All right, CEA, Clean Energy America, engineers and scientists who volunteer their time to participate in a range of presentations and debates on energy issues before campuses, civic and professional groups, and small people who glow in the dark. Okay, I'm just kidding. That's a joke. They don't do that with small people who glow in the dark. They use them for nightlights. But that's another story. That's a cynical thing that has nothing to do with reality. Please forgive me on that. I'm just joking. I believe in nuclear energy. I always have. I've been following this story. I have watched the hypocrisy of people playing politics with nuclear energy. In the meantime, we spend unbelievable gobs of money in the Middle East paying money. I mean, they're building land out of the ocean in Dubai, okay? Because we pay them that money to be able to do it. And it's not that I have any problem with the people in Dubai, but I sure have problems with people in the Middle East that are taking shots at America every chance they get. And, you know, it seems to me that if we had the option of being able to say, hey, you guys, go pound sand. Pound sand. Get it, Saudi Arabia. Anyway, if we could have that option, you know, we would, first of all, not be paying so much for their oil. Two, not having to deal with them politically. And it seems to me that this is the quintessential issue of the day, a real energy policy for America. Mm-hmm. And nuclear's got to be a part of it. If you've got a question, join us here on Talk Radio 570 KLIF. Roy in Plano, do you have a question for Ms. Dina?
Yeah, I have a couple of points, and I'd like her to address if she can. First of all, the source of the nuclear fuel, I've read that the U.S. doesn't produce very much of its own nuclear fuel, that in fact we buy most of it from Canada. So, I mean, that'd be my first question. Second one would be, what about the hazards of contamination? France has a fairly poor record of exposures. They've had, you know, literally dozens of cases that have had leaks. And then that's the main two.
All right. Thanks very much, Roy. I appreciate that. Go ahead and...
Yes, we can start with the first one, which is, I guess, a misconception in that the U.S. does produce all of its fuel here. We do actually get some from Russia in forms of taking their weapons-grade plutonium and their weapons-grade fuel and downgrading that such that we can actually burn it in our reactors, therefore getting away from having that many weapons sitting out there to potentially do bad things. With respect to how safe it is and any contamination, there haven't been any events in the U.S. Commercial nuclear power industry that have resulted in negative health effects based on even when you look at TMI, which was a pretty catastrophic event.
Three Mile Island, TMI.
Sorry, Three Mile Island.
Not too much information. See, yeah. the information that they gave out on TMI was not enough information.
Yeah.
So that would be NEMI.
Right. No. It was actually a pretty bad event, yep, from the standpoint of it ruined that reactor for us. It melted the fuel, but what it did prove is that the safety systems that were in place and the 3-foot concrete containment that was in place contained all of that melted fuel and did not result in any releases to the environment that had any negative health impacts. So I think it's a misconception that we'd like to address further.
Let me ask you a little bit. That entire event never pierced the reactor vessel itself, so it never actually got to the containment building, did it?
No, it was all contained within the reactor.
There was some water that got
down,
in. Yeah, there was some water. Yeah, there was some water that did get into the containment building, but nothing actually got through the reactor vessel, which is a giant steel. Well, actually, it's more than steel. But anyway,
right.
I just wanted to make sure of that. And by the way, for those clowns in Hollywood that said there was going to be a China syndrome where a melting core would go all the way to the center of the earth, as if that would be bad, seems to me that if you had a melting core of out-of-control radioactive criticality, having it go to the center of the earth really is a pretty smart idea. Just go ahead and toss it in there. It's not going to be... Anyway, but... I would direct your attention to Chernobyl, where this ancient, you know, Generation 1 reactor that was being completely abused by the operators didn't melt beyond the ground. I mean, it's still sitting there. They encased it in concrete,
right,
and so on and so on. So all of that is just, it's just sophistry is the technical term. Clayton and Keller, have you got a question for Ms. Dina?
Yes, I do. Thank you for taking my call. The main question that I've got about nuclear energy is less to do with the actual process of the power generation, but what do we do with the spent fuel and what's the future storage capability?
That's a great question. That is a great question. What do we do with the spent fuel?
Yeah, I think it's important to point out that we've been storing spent fuel at each of these sites the entire time we've been operating these plants over the last 50 years. We've been storing it very safely. And the way that's done is it's done in deep pools of water and also in dry storage on site, which is you can go up and touch it, no problem, no radiation issues there. Ultimately, what we'd like to see happen is for recycling or reprocessing to come back to the United States. It's currently not something that our policy allows, but is something that they do all over the world. And that is extracting the leftover energy that remains in that spent fuel. It can actually be used twice more. And that means that at the end of the day, you get more energy out and you reduce the size of the amount of spent fuel that's left over. Ultimately, you do have to store that and put it somewhere permanently. Yucca Mountain is a place that's been identified for that. That's a underground geologic containment area and inside of a mountain in the middle of Nevada. I've actually been there. It's over an hour from Las Vegas, and there's nothing there.
And you don't and you don't get to roll your windows down in the van that they take you out in there because of the land already is destroyed.
It's the nuclear test site. That's right.
They take you right past the site where they fired up the Tory 2C nuclear rocket engine in the open air. Never mind. That's a different story. But yeah, I've been there too. And the volcanic weld that's inside the mountain is really the big issue because it's the most dense rock on Earth.
Right.
I mean, it's more dense than granite. I mean, it's far more dense than granite. It's more like lead, except in a natural way. It was this ash that got sent up in the air, and this pile of ash eventually got so heavy that the actual mass of itself started to weld the rock together, and it's an amazing rock. It's about the size of a huge blimp inside a ridge. It's actually Yucca Ridge, not Yucca Mountain. But that's just one of the things that's misreported constantly. Mm-hmm. And yeah, reprocessing, I don't know why we don't reprocess. That's something that's always amazed me.
Yeah, it's just something that during the Carter administration, they were afraid of nuclear proliferation, and they just
Yeah,
essentially outlawed it in the United States. Now, it has come back in conversation. People have felt that, you know, it's something that we've been missing. We need to close that cycle and get all the energy out that we can. So hopefully that will continue to be a discussion and come to fruition.
Paul, do you have a real quick question?
Yeah, well, one, I was living in Hagerstown, Maryland, when Three Mile Island went down. But I grew up on Long Island. And do you know about Shoreham Power Plant on Long Island and that Long Island Lighting Company, all the corrupt construction practices that were going on associated with that project?
Do you know anything about that?
I don't, unfortunately.
Sorry. I don't know anything about that either, but I'll look into it. Listen, thanks very much for spending time with us.
Thank
Ms.
you.
Dina Bolivar from Clean Energy America. Are you going to keep in touch with us?
Absolutely.
Are you going to like send us more information and stuff like this?
We can send you as much information as you could possibly stomach.
Because when I start talking about nuclear energy, people think I'm really smart. And I'd like
we can
to
make you smart.
That would be good. Don't you love that? Dina Bolivar, Assistant Project Manager, Bechtel Corporation. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Coming up next, Daniel Craig, the best Bond ever. It's the Wells Report and your regular guy review on Talk Radio. No, actually, no. John Dollander is going to join us from